Hello and welcome to the Apache Cassandra Corner, a community-driven podcast for all things Apache Cassandra. The Apache Cassandra Corner is sponsored by DataStax. I am your host, Aaron Pletz. Well, hello everyone. Welcome back. Today on our show, I'm going to spend a little time talking with, one of our longtime community members and contributor to Cassandra in many communities, Sarma Pettipalli. Sarma is an open source developer, runs courses out on Udemy, and he also has lots of instructional material out on YouTube as well. So Sarma, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Aaron. Nice talking to you on this show. I loved it from the day one. The podcast is a wonderful idea.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Actually, I can't take credit for that. That was all Patrick McFadden who was all about, hey, we got to do a podcast.
Yeah, we all love when he speaks. Patrick is amazing.
He really is. So, Sarma, you know, why don't you just start by telling us a little about yourself?
So you all know me by Sarma. I'm originally from India. I studied computer science as my major in college. Way back when I was initially getting introduced to computers, the first database I ever worked with was DBase 3+.
Oh, wow. I remember that one.
Developed by one single person, Aston Tate. So I worked on DBase 3+, FoxPro, and then I worked on small databases. But then about 25 years now, I've been working on Oracle. I've been database administrator for a long time. I worked on several major production systems, large ones, and we did a lot of migrations during the whole 25 years, migrations from data centers. I've seen systems fail, systems create, and then systems run in production and then go retire after 4 or 5 years. I've seen the entire life cycle for databases.
Yeah. Oh, that's excellent. So when did you first get involved with Cassandra?
Oh, that's an interesting story, right? About 18 years, 19 years after working with RDBMS, I was looking at all the cloud transformation. AWS was, taking off. I was watching all that. And then people started talking about NoSQL. Initially, when somebody told me NoSQL, I said, oh, yeah, I've seen many other things come and go. And that was just, I was trying to buy some more time from RDBMS. So almost to the end of 2014, somebody told me, we are going to next year in the funding, we want to do something with NoSQL because there is all this new workloads which we can run. And they seem to be very flexible. So I started looking at several NoSQL databases. In general, anybody who is picking up, they just don't go by what is popular out there. Instead, I look at what technology, how they're doing it. From the day one of Java, I've been watching how Java grew into the market. First it was just a language, then it became a platform. It became an entire ecosystem of other things can be developed on top of Java. And when I was looking at all the NoSQL databases, several of them, graph databases and in and around document databases.
Right.
One thing stood out in the whole search, I would say about 40 different products I looked at. And wow. I fell in love with Cassandra. And there was no doubt Cassandra was standing out so much. I would say for a couple of reasons, right? People who come from row column stores, which look like Oracle tables, Cassandra is easy to look at because it's not a document, it's not a graph. For me, in my mind, anything relational, which looks like tables, is easy to understand.
Oh, right. It has that familiar table look. Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. But then on the third day of Cassandra, I realized this is not RDBMS. So first thing I had to do was to give up my RDBMS skills and say, hey, you know what? I don't know anything about new world databases. So teach me everything about this new thing. Now, what I really loved about Cassandra when I fell in love with it is the point that you can grow your cluster elastically,
right.
like adding nodes, removing nodes. You know, look at any other NoSQL database. I'm not going to take any names, but none of them know how to do this peer-to-peer technology.
Right.
And I just loved Cassandra from the day one. I have done a lot of work on Cassandra side and then learned Apache Spark. Obviously, we all need to know that. So, yeah, definitely. When I started my journey with Oracle as a database, I said, okay, 20 years with Oracle. And I was able to, you know, run that much. And when I saw Cassandra, I said, yeah, this can run for another 20 years for me and beyond for everybody else who cannot retire after that.
No, for sure. And there's a lot of people talking like that, you know, are like, yeah, despite what some of the trends may have said in the recent years, Cassandra is definitely here to stay. And, you know, as long as it continues to solve very large scale data problems, I think we're going to keep on seeing it in production. And yeah, it'll be here for a long, long time.
Definitely. And then I would like to add one more point, right? We see how we were talking earlier about virtualization, then went into cloud, you know, AWS workloads or the Google Cloud, the other cloud providers. And then I jumped into Cassandra. Now, what I see right now happening is Cassandra becoming serverless with Astra, right?
Right.
So, and also the other hand, if you also talk about Kubernetes with Cassandra or Cassandra running on Kubernetes, all these new technologies or transformations, I always believed that if the core is strong, you can put that product anywhere you want.
That's right.
And imagine there are other databases who are in the market who have to rewrite their core with every single version. And they struggle with every single deployment. Like say, they have to rewrite the core to support, let's say, AWS, right?
Right.
And then they have to, oh, you know what? Actually, we forgot about Google Cloud. Let's rewrite a little bit of this piece, right? And I have definitely seen that with the other technologies where they have to, you know, change the core principles or the concepts inside the database. Now, Cassandra, on the other hand, I definitely see the flexibility of what community is doing towards, you know, keeping the core concept same, but developing on all the new things which we are able to develop, including, let's say, DataStax AstraDB is serverless. And I am really amazed on how much we have developed, like the community has developed in past 6 years.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, speaking a little bit about the community, I know that, you know, just in the past conversations that you and I have had, that that giving back to the community and, you know, and kind of helping everyone else along is really important to you too. So one way that I've noticed you do that is with Udemy. So how did you get started running courses on Udemy?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, you know, so way back when I was working on Oracle, I always used to think, okay, how can I share this knowledge? Because, you know, you can write a nice blog article, and then it's all in text format. And I always wondered, like, you know, if people were going to read this, how will they imagine it? So back, like maybe about 12 years ago, I started doing something on YouTube. Said, okay, YouTube is free. What if I record my session on whatever technical things I'm doing, like the typing of those commands and the output, people can watch that video. It's more like an interactive, very live instructional video. And then I started making several of them on YouTube. So even before I got to Udemy, I used to make short videos on YouTube.
Right.
And I was able to manage to get like 4,000 subscribers. I think it is, I did not check what is the count right now. But if you imagine somebody who's going to YouTube and watching these technical videos, they're very technical. You know, they're not looking for entertainment. So with some of that experience with making videos on YouTube, I was... let's say 10 years fast forward into Cassandra, I wanted to share my knowledge of how do you do this? How do you do that? Let's say, for example, how do you move from one data center to another data center?
Right,
let's say
right.
and how do you do that is I nicely sat with four other people and said, hey, you know what? Today I'm going to live migrate my database from one data center to another data center, and here is the video recording, right? Now, anybody coming later can watch that video and understand, like, you know, it's a two-hour video. It's like a movie. You're sitting there, all the servers are running. They're all live. And nothing is on the blog, right? There is no text. Everybody is, like, you know, watching a live thing happening. So I say, okay, you know what? What are the other platforms which are very popular where I can say, hey, here is the Udemy course, and this is more structured, right? Let's say you want to learn Spark for Cassandra purpose. Mm-hmm. Then it's a tailored course which goes step by step. Okay, I don't know how to use Scala. I don't know how to set up Spark cluster. Then you go step by step as a course. I looked at different platforms, and Udemy was one of the best, suitable for my purpose. And I see a lot of active students in there. Like, you know, there's a lot of community around learning.
Right.
And and I already had some content recorded. Now this was during past 1 year, I was able to publish like four courses.
Wow.
Gained like, I would just count the active students. You know, you can have 2000 students, but actively there are 1200 students who are using these courses. And all the four courses are related to Cassandra.
Mm-hmm,
I just focused on the Cassandra content and then divided them into four different topics, right? One is, broadly speaking, there are a lot of people like DBAs or developers who come from RDBMS background. So I wanted to say, okay, what do you need to know about Cassandra to work on it, right? That's a full length Cassandra course to introduce them to Cassandra. Then I have one installation and configuration, meaning we show how to do it in production. Like, you know, if you have to run a cluster in production, this is the best settings you have to choose. Then there is a course which is actually similar to the open source installation. I have one for DataStax Enterprise.
I saw that. Yeah.
And it covers a lot of detail, like, you know, how do you mm-hmm. configure your clusters? Obviously, you need to manage them later. So how do you really configure them properly? And then you don't have to worry about configuration problems, right?
Right, right.
And the DataStax Enterprise installation and configuration course also covers the DSC Search and DSC Spark analytics. And basically, it gives them very detailed instruction on if you want to run analytics on one data center, but you want to run search on all data centers. So you are able to configure them with confidence after finishing that course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There is one last course, which I feel very proud of creating, is the Scala and Spark for Cassandra professionals. This course is more important for all the Cassandra people, because I see a lot of people who know Cassandra, they're just using it as a data store.
Right, right.
But you know, in the real life, when you come and work with other team members, there are other application members who come and say, hey, can you extract this ad hoc query data? And that cannot be done with Cassandra's tools which come with it.
Yeah, at least not easily, right.
Not easily, they're doable, but, you know, there are a lot of conditions and limitations with it. So I feel like Spark is a very good tool to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned Spark on my own, and then I tried several hours to put it together. So that's how I got into Udemy, is to help the community. Okay, by the way, these courses are not like very high price. You know, they're less than $50 each, and they're like, you know, covers a lot of content in there.
Right. Oh yeah, I've seen you talking about them and offering vouchers on LinkedIn actually too.
Oh yeah, that's the other piece, right? So you have to understand that, you know, even though these courses cost money, in past 1 year, I must have given like, you know, maybe 500 coupons for free.
Sure.
So and more, actually, I don't even know how many I gave for free, because it was more like, okay, let me create this content, but also I want people to take advantage of the content, right? Learn and go back and perform whatever they need to do at their work, but do it with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So selling these courses was not the key concept. Concept right. was to create them and then, you know, share if possible.
Yep. You know, you mentioned, you know, a lot of your YouTube content also. And I have to say personally, there was a video you did, and I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this to you before, but the video you did on adding Cassandra as a data source for the community version of DBeaver, that was awesome. when I was over at Target for several years, we had teams asking us how to do that all the time, and none of us knew. And when you put that video out there, the first thing I did was I sent it to my old team, and I'm like, hey, watch this video, and the next time anyone asks, this is where you send them. Because seriously, that is something that so many people ask how to do. So yeah, I mean, thank you for that one. That one was super helpful.
Yes, I remember making that video. You know, how it came out was like, I was struggling with the tools, the UI tools which can interact with Cassandra.
Right,
I was struggling with several of them. And I said, you know what? There are several people writing small blogs here and there. There is no single blog which says this is how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One person would solve a connectivity issue. One other person will solve the consistency issue. But there was no single place where I can go and say, oh, okay, this is how you make your DBeaver work. So I did some research. Like, it took about 20 days to put together that video. And after doing that work, the 40-minute video which came out, I'm really happy that it was helpful. And mm-hmm. thank you for mentioning that. It's freely available on my YouTube channel. And it was so much fun making it. You know, I use DBeaver every day, so I'm using it. I would like to mention one thing which I always mention this as, like, you know, DataStax workshops. So I believe in, we are all working as a community. We are not competing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there is lots of stuff our Cedric and Alex does on DataStax platform. They have DataStax workshops going on. And all those workshops are available via DataStax developers on YouTube.
That's right.
I just love them. Believe me, actually, I watch all those videos and I learn from them even every single day today. So I should just say out loud, DataStax workshops are the best.
Well, thank you. I will definitely pass that along. Cedric and Alex will enjoy getting a call out as well. So I know you've worked on, you know, a lot of other, you know, like open source projects and side projects. You know, we could spend another couple hours talking about them all, but, you know, let's focus on one. I know one that you've mentioned to me before is your Prometheus Grafana Cassandra project that you have. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yes. Now I'll tell you a little background about how it started. It started mostly around 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when I'm running my Cassandra in production, I would like to do a couple of things. One is to see all the metrics in a graphical view,
mm-hmm.
A nice dashboard. Then the second thing is, how do I monitor my clusters using that nice dashboard, if you had a dashboard with alerts, right?
Right, right.
So when I started looking about 2 years ago, what happened was there are some Grafana dashboards which were built earlier, maybe 2-3 years earlier than when I was working on.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them were broken because Grafana releases so many new versions. And I'm talking about only open source Grafana.
Sure.
Every time there is a version change, there is a possibility that the small widget which was used within Grafana dashboard is upgraded, and which will break the previous Grafana dashboard, people have published.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then what happened is, I'm also looking at how people were extracting data, like the metrics from Cassandra. Even today, a lot of people talk about JMX.
Right.
Now, I personally hate JMX, and I openly say that, because what happens with JMX is, imagine you don't want to write assembly code today, right? JMX is like that. You're basically going and asking Java, hey, tell me everything you know about Cassandra, right?
Yep.
Now, the most popular way to extract metrics is the JMX, where you need Java code. And what this Java code does is, any of the jar file which you plug in, basically it is sitting between your Cassandra and JMX, and it is saying, okay, give me metrics every 5 minutes.
Right.
And then it makes it available as a web service or something. And then, you know, other services like Prometheus can come and pull those metrics, right?
Sure.
Then when I started doing research, mostly it was for my own learning to understand how Cassandra publishes this metrics.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the box, Cassandra actually uses something called drop wizard metrics.
Okay.
So the module is already there in Cassandra. Every single installation of Cassandra has it. You just need to enable it. Say, hey, you know what? Starting from now, I want these four metrics written into this text file. And that's all you need to do. You don't have to enable JMX. You don't need to mess with anything with JMX. And this is not done in Java. I mean, this is not done in a third-party Java file.
Right.
Instead, you just enable it in your Cassandra YAML.
Okay.
And log back XML. There are only 2-3 places you need to enable it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started documenting how to enable it. And then when I started seeing this metrics in text format, you know, that was the best day ever. because now I'm not doing JMX.
Right.
And I had my metrics published. So then the project came together. Like, you know, I started consuming this metrics using Prometheus.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Prometheus is open source. I just consume the metrics from Prometheus. And once you have all the metrics in Prometheus, it's a time series database. So obviously you can have Grafana-like software which can go and pull these metrics in a time series format. Or you can just say, okay, what is the current view? And publish a dashboard out of it.
So
then I put together the whole thing. I said, okay, this is the Grafana dashboard. This is how you pull data from Prometheus. And then obviously Prometheus needs to get these metrics, which are coming from the text file I was talking about earlier.
Right.
From Cassandra.
Right.
There is one small thing I added in there, is the Cassandra publishes those metrics into the text file,
mm-hmm.
which is not readily okay, let's put it this way. Those metrics are not readable by Prometheus directly. So
right.
I had to write one shell script which basically converts those metrics from the raw format into the Prometheus format.
Okay.
And again, if it is a shell script, anybody can read it. I mean, whoever knows shell scripting is easy to read.
And then did you just like stream it or FTP the file over? Or
no, you don't do anything on the Cassandra server other than converting them to Prometheus format.
Sure.
And I'm using Node Exporter to expose them within each node. Node uh-huh. Exporter is again a module from Prometheus.
Right.
So what happens is, there are, you know, all the metric systems, there are two ways of collecting metrics. Either you push all the metrics to the collection server, or let collection server come whenever they want, whatever the configuration is, like every 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and take the metrics. So either it is pull or push.
Okay.
If you are pushing from Cassandra, it puts a lot of load on Cassandra server.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what
right.
Prometheus does is, it is a pull. So what you do is, you have nice Prometheus cluster if you need to, and that has its own resources, and mm-hmm. it is pulling metrics. So what happens at the end is, with this Prometheus and Cassandra combination, you are not putting any load on Cassandra for sending these metrics. Instead, it just extracts and keeps it in a local file.
Okay.
And that file gets exposed to Prometheus in the form of Node Exporter.
Right.
And Prometheus is pulling them at regular intervals. Now, mm-hmm. this is what you configure. Let's say, by default, it is 5 minutes, but you can make it 3 minutes, whatever you like.
Right.
And then at the end, Grafana is able to put everything as a dashboard. And in the round one, like, you know, this almost 15 months ago when I published, there were like several metrics published. And I even today, I verify that this is all not broken because of the new versions come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to actually enable the alert manager along with it. And definitely a lot of people have used this, and I'm happy that I got a positive feedback. Definitely there is a lot more to do, but I haven't done any upgrades on that other than making sure it works with the newer versions of Prometheus, newer versions of Grafana, and obviously newer version of Cassandra.
Right.
And luckily, nothing is broken so far. So it's all working.
Well, that's good. And, you know, yeah, helping folks out with, you know, kind of adding on to that open source metric stack is something, too, that's very, very helpful to people. You know, in terms of, you know, keeping your databases running for any database, not just Cassandra, you know, having that observability is key. So yeah, I think that's a really cool project that you put together there for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for today.
Oh yeah, that's all. I mean, we can talk about a lot more things, but this was so much fun. You know, one thing I really enjoy with Cassandra is the community, strong mm-hmm. presence of community members. And I love what you're doing here with the podcast, talking to different people.
Thank you.
We are able to see and experience different perspectives because, you know, this industry is large and, you know, Cassandra is growing every day. So we would like to hear more stories, obviously keep this podcast going. And I would like to thank you and DataStax for providing me this opportunity to do this podcast.
Oh, yeah, of course. Thank you so much for, you know, coming on here and spending some time with me this afternoon. This has been really great, Sarma. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. Have a good day. And that's all for today. Thank you for listening to the Apache Cassandra Corner. Apache Cassandra is a registered trademark of the Apache Software Foundation. Thank you, and have a great day.